And I need to take a nap.
Oh my God, there he is. Holy cow.
All right, so the purpose of tonight's meeting was for, you know, the chairman had tasked of each one of the different committees to discuss and come up with ideas for use of the money for the American Rescue Plan. So I guess this is our chance to sort of discuss. So leader Ron.
Thanks. The number one, criterion that in my head, I think that we should put on the use of this money is that it should not be used on items that are going to cause recurring costs. I understand that there is no way to make sure that none of the things that we do are going to have recurring costs, but I'm talking about, investing in things like personnel or increasing services, are things that I would be opposed to using the money for, because that's the way that, New York State ended up in a huge budget deficit this year, is that they've had several large infusions of cash to the tune of $10 billion or so in various major settlements that they did not use on things that were one-time costs, but more, increasing programs and services, and then ended up in the hole that they were in prior to this federal bailout. So I don't want to see us, break the budget, 5 years from now because we have grand plans to use this, two sets of $17 million. I have one more thing to mention that in our audit committee, our independent auditors talked about some of the things that it can be used for. And one of them is environmental remediation and public safety. And I think that one thing that we should do is take a really hard look at the tax foreclosure list with specific interest on properties that we have historically not taken title of because of potential environmental risks. We may want to take some of those properties, which we've not. There's one in my district that owes almost $500,000 in back taxes, but we haven't taken because it's a former junkyard. And it would be, a poor idea for the taxpayers if we take that. In other districts, there are gas stations, service stations, things of that nature where we could, reasonably conclude that there could be, environmental remediation needing to be done. This set of money is, I think, a really good opportunity for us to take some of those risks on behalf of the taxpayers and put some of these properties back on the tax rolls while also improving the environment. I think it goes both with taxpayer protections and, environmental responsibility, which I know that the county historically has been, both of those things. So.
Thank you, Chair Donaldson.
Yeah, I concur with most of what the minority leader said. I mean, there's also, like, for instance, a prime example, I don't know if people know the Cake Box. It's a small bakery on the corner of Beach Hill Avenue and the crazy streets that they all meet there. There's like five different streets meeting in one corner, actually six. But that one was for 20 years laid dormant before he took it over because it was a former gas station. And then they were able to get the thing cleared. But I concur with that with this situation. And if we take a look at even Tech City, owns the properties that he is paying the taxes on is the infrastructure part of the roads. Making it, if we turn around and take over some of the other positions that are due for taxes, we may not be able to get to where we won't be able to use his roads, basically. It's a crazy scheme that they've done. And maybe that's another thing that we need to maybe just decide that we're going to bite the bullet and bring him to court and take over the entire spot. But they have environmental issues there also. And it's a significant piece of property. So, and I'm sure there's a number of gas stations that are similar to that. You can see them when you ride up and down and throughout some of the roads and also the county. Of an abandoned gas station and just sitting there. And it's not doing anything because nobody, you know, it's not paying taxes and people are afraid to take over. So, and that, I think that environmental remediation is a pretty good idea.
Legislator Parity.
You know, in commenting on the conversation that you just heard, I believe that from five, 6 years ago, there is legislation on the books that was passed to very specifically have a plan and a direction to invest county interests in environmental remediation of contaminated properties. And it does, it really makes sense, and it's probably not oftentimes a huge amount of money, just more than maybe we could afford at a given time.
Anyone else? I'll just comment on that. You know, I would just be cautious. I don't think we should have a blanket statement and we're gonna look at every single property that's up for grabs, because if the return on investment is 20 years away, because the cost of the remediation far exceeds anything we would receive back in taxes or economic benefits, then we're upside down on the deal, and that was a big waste of money. And somebody benefited, but it certainly isn't us or the taxpayers. So if there are cases where we just haven't done the investigating work of determining how bad, or if at all, if an area, because, and you said it, gas stations are automatically assumed to be a hazardous waste contaminated site, and they don't bother to go any further than that. If there was a way to do it where we test it for and see if it truly is a problem, because it may not be one, and then go ahead and do the minor work that is required, like removing a tank or something, or removing at least some soil. But I think before we should do it, I think they need, each one of those situations need to be vetted carefully to make sure we just don't throw money down the drain. Anybody else?
Does anybody have any specifics that they have been looking at in other committees or what have you? I know, you know, a lot of people have been talking about mental health issues, of course, and housing issues. But I'm not sure if they've had some other discussions with, you know, with the other issues.
Legislator Haynes.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking a little bit about, you know, providing some support to our most vulnerable populations, and that being people living with ID and DD, intellectual and developmental disabilities. They've been severely impacted by COVID in many ways. I tried to do some research without actually having to reach out to any of the agencies. The one agency that's at the forefront of my mind on a local level is RCAL. They provide so many services and supports to our county. And I felt awful, you know, this past session that when we had to cut their request also. I just don't know exactly how we can help them, but I do know that they are in need and that they have definitely been impacted by it. So a little bit more research would be, you know, definitely required, and maybe hearing from them. And, you know, this is like the PCORA Center, the Arc of Ulster Green, you know, they're still shut down. They're, you know, no one's going in for their programs. Vans aren't running. Many of these residents are still in the group homes. Nobody's doing their programs right now. And I'm certain that this has impacted them on a level that's really needs to be better explained by somebody who's on the other side of it. So that's one of my thoughts on how to help one of our most vulnerable populations.
Thank you. So, I mean, I'll just chime in with a couple of things I've said to people individually, but I've said them also, you know, in a couple of group settings. I think that, you know, this is an opportunity, and I think the minority leader Ronk sort of alluded to the possibility that we could be spending money on something now that's going to cost us later, and that concerns me greatly. I don't want to see us incurring something with ongoing costs that, you know, got to pay the piper at some point on, and I don't want to see us turn a good thing into a bad thing. That, you know, I mentioned, I think at the last meeting, waste meeting, literally in the week, about doing, you know, supercharger stations for electric vehicles. That's something that's, it's infrastructure. It would be an investment. And the payback, or at least as of 2 years ago, prior to COVID, was about 4 years. And then everything after that is profit from the sale of electric back for the customer. So that's something that is now a generating revenue project rather than a cost center for us. Some of the other things is, and Amber has helped me with this, about getting the any of the bonds that we have outstanding currently that are anything above, I would say, 3% interest, we should be paying that off and go ahead and use that interest savings now towards funding other projects. And we're just, but we're buying a bus, we've got building projects to do, we've got road projects. Let's pay cash. We don't have to bond everything, especially now that we've got money out there. Let's not bond it. The interest that we're saving, use that money and reinvest it into other programs. But I think we need to look at projects that will have a long-term financial benefit back to the county, not just the short-term programmatic benefit. Chairman Donaldson?
But I don't think they were allowed to pay off our bonds with the rescue money, are we?
For infrastructure, we don't have to have them.
Yeah, they're meant to. I mean, we can do infrastructure without bonding, but if we already have a bond, I believe they, in other words, it's not, you know, they want us to spend the money, not use it to pay off debt. They want us to spend that money for economic development purposes. That's, you know.
I wasn't referring to past projects, more sure about bonds that we're going to do. We haven't actually done the work yet.
Right. Well, there's also issues that I know that was brought up by some in reference to mental health issues. And, you know, like, for instance, you know, having, you know, people talking about getting meds back here, but, you know, they may not be the best way of dealing with it. If we had some type of a crisis center, but that would cost an upfront money. And sometimes you need to have the physical building. And once you have the physical building, that you may end up having to pay for that cost. But then once the programs are run, the programs can be run and reimbursed through the state, you know, through various, you know, departments within the state. I know that Eve and Criswell was looking at some of those, and they went down to Poughkeepsie, and they were, it seemed to look like they would be able to be self-sustaining once you got the building and got the thing running, which would, you know, that's the money. And I think that may be something, another item that could be looked at.
And to that point, Chairman Donaldson, I haven't had a chance to reach out to Legislator Walter yet to talk about this, but, you know, there's a slightly different way we can get the same goal accomplished, and it doesn't cost us as much money, and it gives a lot more flexibility and choice, and that is come out with an RFP for clinical social work, psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever it is that we need to fill the gaps of mental health in Ulster County, just like insurance companies do with a private provider. They agree to a set hourly amount, and any provider who wants to join on to that amount can be a provider for the county. Now you've got, throughout the entire county, you've got private practices that are getting additional business, and people have a choice. It's not one location as to where to go that's probably going to want to be in the Kingston area, let's be frank. And you have the ability to access that those resources closer to home. And if you don't like the person that you're seeing, you have a choice, because there's potentially 2, 3, 4, 5 others close enough to you that you can go to instead, who will accept the per diem rate that you're willing to offer. And this way, we're not the employer. We let the professionals do this job on their own. We're just having a way to fund what we would be funding privately anyway, if we do it ourselves. Chairman, Legislator Perry.
You know, we just heard a presentation on maybe how complicated this is going to be before we get down the road. It's kind of mind-boggling to me. But since we're dealing with what ifs, what if maybe a good project, you know, I have for many, many years supported or advocated for investment in the infrastructure. I have always included and maybe expanded in most people's minds my definition of infrastructure was also the people, members of the community, especially the young people in our community, are part of the infrastructure. Forget roads and bridges. We wouldn't need roads and bridges and sewer systems if we didn't have people. And, you know, there was a local law passed in 2013, local law number one, which I think I did mail out to everybody. We still have a serious epidemic of opioid abuse. And I have said many times that I do think the county and the state have done a good job in trying to save those who have difficulties, have problems. Some would say they could do better, but that's always the case. But I see nothing in prevention, not just awareness, but prevention. And back in 2013, some of us saw this thing coming. And there is legislation on the books to cooperate. And maybe now the schools that didn't want to do it back then and other members of our government didn't go on to cooperate, maybe because they didn't think of it. But to identify youngsters of need, well, maybe it's time to look at these youngsters as part of the infrastructure and start introducing them at the very earliest stages to the terrible, terrible burden that these opioids and the addiction is doing. I'm really not being critical of anybody, but the state and the county's done a good job of trying to help me if I've got myself a problem. But they're not doing anything for the little kindergarten kids through first and third and seventh and into the high school. Say, don't do it, pal, because you're going to ruin yourself. And I think maybe some of you wouldn't agree with bodies, people, real lives are part of the infrastructure, but we wouldn't need what I expanded on before if we didn't have these people. And I think it's something that we could certainly think about and see if it even fits in the parameters. I don't know if it does or not. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
John?
Yes.
John, I don't know if Natalie or Amber or whomever has looked at, in other words, using money, dealing with the financial systems that we have and where we would be able to invest in that to make them better for us for operating in the future. I know we've already done some investments in those. Have you guys thought about your dream financial system?
Are you asking me, Dave, or?
No, I was asking Amber and Natalie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I will say in my experience with fund accounting systems, I do feel like we have one of the best that is out there. I've seen some pretty bad fund accounting softwares. And this is by no means bad. Okay. I do think that the payroll system should be or could be integrated. And I know that's been a discussion in the past, but I'm not sure where that is currently.
I just wanted to point out, though, that if legislative parity, if Chairman Donaldson's asking you about technology, then I'm very concerned if that's who he was going to.
Yeah, and rightly so, sir. You should be concerned.
I have a couple of thoughts on that. One is that we don't allow electronic payments right now in most categories, and many of the towns do allow, certainly on the tax side, electronic payments. And we had actually considered going to RFP. I'm sure you guys recall right before the pandemic, and it was a large number. But I do think that would be something worth looking at again. to have a revenue collection system fully integrated with what we're, you know, with our financial system. I think we might want to consider something like OpenGov. You know, it's not the only platform. There's a number of them, but there's a level of transparency that we don't have, that Dutchess County has, that many other communities have. It does take an initial upfront investment, you know, that could be sizable. So, you know, not millions of dollars, but probably 100K or more. So I think that's worth looking at. And on the payroll side, there is discussion right now that finance is looking at a way to set up a system where employees can access information on their own, you know, pay stubs and that sort of thing. But I agree 100% with Amber. I think she's right on. We should have a fully integrated payroll system that would really, I think, make a big difference and probably create a lot of efficiencies, because you're seeing a lot of payroll changes and, you know, imports and, you know, stuff that has to happen because we use Time Force and Munis going into New World. So those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Hey, I'm related to that. I can tell you if there's a way to do it as a joint group purchase through the other towns. I know Worsing, they would love to do a contactless payment system, but don't have the ability to fund it right now themselves. So, and Village of Elmville as well. Anybody else? Wow, okay. All right, just a heads up, and if you can think about it, I did mention at the end of the last Ways and Means meeting, but we'll talk about it again at the next one. The legislative programs is requesting 908,000 and change. So just give some thought as to what direction you'd like to go with on that for the next meeting. If nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Second, Peter Monk. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all.
Thank you, sir.